Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What the fuck's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast on today that is the 9th of October. How about that? Seats fucked. On the 9th of October, first of all, if you want to support this podcast, you do it through patreon.com/thegeneralbanterpodcast. Shout out to everyone who's done that already, because this month we have taken the Patreon donations and bought ourselves a camcorder. So all the other podcasts that I've done that I do the video version for, I basically record it and very slowly fucking piece them together because it only records in 20-second or 20-minute bursts. So we've bought ourselves a General Banter camcorder, and now we fucking can record straight through, no breaks, straight in, no kissing. Know what I'm saying? Yeah, let me shout out some gigs before we get fucking stuck in here. I'm in London this Friday, right? I haven't checked the tickets. Last time I checked the tickets about 2 weeks ago, there was like 50 of them gone, and there's only 80 tickets available. So I don't know whether it's sold out or not. I'll update the poster once I find out the shit from them today. It may well be sold out. I have no idea. I'm on the 12th. And then the 18th, I'm in Glasgow, Scotland. The annoying thing about that is Kevin Bridges is doing a bunch of dates in Glasgow. And so am I. I'm doing one date in Glasgow. So I think they were about half sold last time I checked them. But get stuck in. Tell some people if they're not going to Kevin Bridges, get themselves around to this wee show. It'll be funny. Do you know what I mean? Will it be as good as Kevin Bridges? Absolutely. You know what I mean? He's just famous. So yeah, come on around to that. And then the 20th, we're in Derry/Londonderry/the Maiden City, which is in the Nerve Centre. I had a ton of people ask me, was it playing the fucking, what do you call that fucking place, the Playhouse? And I was like, no, I wasn't too keen. The great staff, nice people, just that style, you know what I mean? It's like a wee mini theatre, not into that. I want people sitting in tables, sitting in chairs, drinking beer. That's what I want. Okay, so I'm playing the Nerve Centre. And then, of course, the Limelight show sold out on the 27th, so they added a second one on the 26th, which is before it, which is fucked up, which is actually my birthday. So if you want to fucking, if you want to party, get yourselves to that. And that's about it. That's about all I have to flog to you at this point. But the shows are coming up. They're going to be lethal. We've added a Manchester show. It's on the 25th of November. Tickets are all available at colingettis.com. Go to the buy tickets page. And there be the name of the city or venue that you want to come see me in. And then we just fucking tell dick joke. I wrote such a dick joke the other day. You know? About my own dick. Oh my god. Let's play this fucking intro. God damn it.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about you, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather soul.
Colin Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. Yeah, boy. So let me just get stuck right in. I don't think I recorded a second podcast last week, so, and even it was late. Bro, we need equipment. So, yeah, didn't record a second podcast, so today you'll be getting two. They won't be out in the morning. They'll be out, if you're listening to this, it'll probably be after dinner on Tuesday, but you'll be hit with this podcast and the one I did with Mickey Bartlett. So there you have it. Various things have happened since last week. I mean, the fact that I mean, I filmed with Shane last week. I think I talked about that on the podcast, and it fucking didn't work. That was a fucking goddamn nightmare. So we're gonna have to reschedule that. With regards to me and Dave's weight loss thing, that has taken a bit of a fucking pause for a second. He went on Shane's stag at the weekend. I miss Dave and Shane's stag because, you know, Mr. Worldwide is on his own travels. You know what I mean? We're in between a fairly expensive Euro trip and a trip to LA. So I was just like, you know what I mean? They're going to cost you a pile of thousands of pounds. So I don't know if I could be fucking, you know, squeeze another one in. And I'm selfish, you know? Help me celebrate my stag. No, I'd rather do my own stuff the way I'd like to do it. Because, you know, selfish. But I think they had a great time, which is great. And I'm sure Dave wasn't sticking to fucking gin and tonics and salads the whole weekend. So the whole thing took a break. Obviously, the McGregor fight was on. I had a gig in the Devonish in Belfast, which is, you know, tell you what, it's good enough for McGregor. It's good enough for me. But fucking hell, it was fair play to Devonish. Cheers for getting me down. Cheers to Paddy Donald for throwing my name in the mix. But it was rough, bro. Jesus. First of all, Paddy McDonald sent me a rundown of the night, and it was like, yeah, I'm going to do 10, Paddy Raff's going to do 20, Kieran Bartlett's going to do 45, then there's a break, and then you're going to do an hour? And I was like, that is the longest fucking night of all time. I was like, if Bill Burr went on after all that shit, he would struggle, do you know what I mean? So we adjusted it a bit, and I think people were let in there at about 7:30, and I don't think I went on to fuck, it must have been 11 or something, I don't know, but it was a long night for the crowd, and everyone was on the piss real hard, and they were fucking, let's just say there was a lot of dudes queuing for a shit, and it was fucking, it was like, there's certain gigs you do, there's a give and a take with stand-up, you know what I mean? People try and go, this'll be a big night, we're gonna have some comedians, get you in early, sell thousands of pounds worth of drink, we're gonna make it a big evening. At that point, you're like, well, then the comedy's not going to work. The comedy has to be people want to see the comedy, and you fucking do it hard and fast for fucking an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most. And then it's over, and then people are free to drink. These big sprawling comedy nights that go from fucking 7:30 to 12 at night, it's a nightmare. Like, it just will not work. But fucking, yeah, just I went up, and I could hear, like, even Paddy before he brought me on was like, right, I'll go out and do about 10 minutes here. And even then, I was like, you don't need to do 10 minutes. But then not that he was struggling, he was getting laughs, but you're definitely trying to just fucking heat the crowd up before you bring on the quote-unquote headliner, this fucking guy. And, you know, he fucking ended up doing about another 20 minutes. And then I went on, and I think I did good for about 15. And then it just got to the point where it was like, people were fucking falling asleep. But probably a combination of me being boring as shit and people just being blocked. Just a long night for them, and they're fucking falling asleep. And there's ones on like round tables towards the edge of the room that were just fucking talking to each other. And I you know, you sort of got the impression it was like no one really gave a shit, or else they were a bit fatigued or whatever. I don't know. It was very fucking strange. But a few people enjoyed it, and I nearly fucking was spitting up blood. I shouted that much. But you know, other than that, rough. But I appreciate being asked down, don't get me wrong, but, you know, just the usual, you go up, trying to ease in, someone's like, tell us a joke, and you're like, what sort of fucking window lick comment is that to say to someone? Make a joke, alright, I just got here, do you know what I mean? Let me slide into this, instead of bursting through the door, like, burr, burr. Who does jokes anymore anyway? It was fucking ridiculous. And he said it 3 times. He's like, tell us a joke. And I was like, hey, if you'd shut your fucking mouth for 1 second, I'd maybe be able to say something. Tell us a joke. And I went, that wasn't even funny the first time. And then I went, can someone kneecap that cunt? And it was the most West Belfast thing ever. As I said to Mickey, like, in the last podcast, they fucking paused, checked who it was saying it, realized it would have been okay to say that he could be kneecapped, then they laughed and clapped. Hilarious. But did that gig. Don't think I met anybody from the Devonish. You know, sometimes the manager or something will come out and say hello. Didn't meet anybody. Just waited around and then left. which was, and then straight home to watch the McGregor fight. And it's funny because even on your way home, you're like, I'm getting home at 1 o'clock here. I'm going to arrive. Everyone's going to be fucking settled in, drinking. And I got home and Maureen was asleep on the sofa and no one was there. And I was like, oh, I thought there was going to be like, there was going to be like 10 people here drinking. She's like, no, no one's coming up till like one or two or something. And I was like, oh, great. So I just kind of got in and settled down for a wee second. I was like, all right, this is me. Just chilling in. I thought I was arriving back to a party and then I could do that thing where you play catch up and end up more steaming than everybody. And then we watched the fights, you know, had a few drinks. And I really did only have a few drinks because although we stayed up late, I slept, went to bed about 6 or whatever, slept about 12:30. Woke up and was fine. And then went down and tidied the kitchen a bit and was like, all right, I realise. Last night I thought I was going to be fully on the piss. But I think what happened was I was drinking beer and everyone was chatting. You know, we got the snacks out, got the cheese board out. Begley arrived, he was digging. He was gigging in Derry, he arrived. And then, you know, we started drinking beer. And but I realised the next day when I was cleaning up, I was like, I had about 6 tins of beer. Which, between fucking 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock, probably isn't that much. And then I maybe had like 1 whiskey and ginger or something when the McGregor fight came on. And that was about fucking it, really, to be honest. Felt grand the next day. Still had a whole pile of like hangover food, even though it wasn't really that dying. I could have fucking probably done a workout and ate well. But everyone else was just laying about like tramps, so I decided to do the same. But yeah, the McGregor fight was interesting, wasn't it, guys? Got his shit kicked in. There's a whole pile of factors. I mean, this couldn't be more stereotypical fucking fat boy sitting doing a podcast telling fighters how to fight. But I feel like sometimes this happens when you get a fighter who has this bit of mystique about them. You know, like, it's happened a lot of times. And you know, it's like, oh, Lyoto Machida or someone, or Wonderboy Thompson or something. There's someone who, like, fucking possesses some sort of mystical skill. Like, McGregor can just fucking pop people with that left hand and they just die. And I think people catch on that he's not a one-trick pony, but it's just that fucking one skill of his is so dominant that people go, well, I'll just avoid that. And I realize that, you know, maybe his cardio isn't them, you know, the bottomless pit that other fighters have. And if we weather the storm and grapple him, if you're a more dominant grappler, we'll tire him out. And because he's such a high profile fighter, everybody just sees that. Everyone just sees, like, everyone's got their eyes on him because he's the most popular, he gets the most money, and they're just trying to, you know, knock him off the throne type vibe. So eventually you're going to get someone like Khabib, who is like just in it for the fighting and is fucking unbelievable grappler and is going to get his hands on him. But I think there's something weird about McGregor as well. And I was thinking a couple of things. I'll tell you what I'll do. Our man in Vietnam, Sean, who after I did a podcast with him, everyone was like, why don't you do a MMA podcast? And I was like, if he was in the bloody country, I would. I would do a podcast with him. Let me just see if I can get this fucking... This is probably not interesting, isn't it? He goes, so I watched the fight back and confirmed what I thought. Khabib put his greatest ever performance. Timing and distance control was great. Head movement was way better than ever. And all his wrestling was precise as fuck. None of the usual periods of sloppiness. I really don't think he can fight better than that. Was an awesome performance. Conor was dog shit. And still came closer to winning than most people have. Granted, he was nowhere near winning, but still was rusty as fuck and actually let Khabib punch him. Footwork was non-existent, even in the third, when Khabib walked him down and just stood there and traded. In the first, he was slow to react to the first takedown and overreaching his strikes. Looked like he hadn't fought in ages, basically. But he did stay calm and being sat on and managed pretty well until the fourth. Long story short, win is very possible in a rematch. And then he took a photo of a Vietnamese iced coffee and was like, you can thank that rant for this. There's a bunch of shit happening. I just think, what, I hate this, like, what he should have done. First of all, as much as that weight cut fucking kills McGregor, the real sharp, snappy McGregor that you're used to, you know, when he fucking blasted Aldo, or most of those things were at 145, where he's like doing the karate sort of back and forth. And it seems like, not that he's got, I don't know whether it's lazy, I think it's just overconfidence, but he just fucking stand there with his hands down, just like, you know, I'll just roll with these punches, and then when I catch you, you're going down. Whereas like the Aldo fight, do you know what I mean? It was like trying to get fucking cheese out of a mousetrap. He was like, I'm gonna get in here and just fucking wipe this cunt out so quickly, like a sniper, like I've got one fucking bullet. Which is sort of how I think he probably should have went that Khabib, like, just that, keep your hands up and stay fucking sharp as fuck, and just stay on your toes, and just the second he moves, just fucking blast him. Instead of like, let me just get in there. I think he's probably like sick of people going, oh, you can't grapple, you can't fucking do jiu-jitsu, your cardio shit. And then he works on it, and then he's probably got that point where he's like, nah, I'm a fucking complete martial artist. I can, you know, if he takes me, he said that, he's like, I don't give a fucking, he's like, I don't give a bollocks. Like, he could take me down, he can, I don't care about any technique or any of that shit. But the reality is, what Khabib can do in the fucking grind is, oh shit, is way better than what you're used to. You know what I mean? He's elite at that. And I was explaining to Maureen, I was like, this fight on Saturday, I was like, this is like, do you know those fucking nature programs when there's a lion standing at the edge of the water and there's a crocodile in the water and they both want to eat each other? And I was like, if the crocodile grabs the thing by the nose and pulls it in the water, the lion's fucked. But if the lion gets it on the land and fucking bites its neck, it's fucked. I was like, that's the sort of thing you're dealing with. It's like, where's this fight gonna take place? But then I think it was just like, I don't know if it was like rustiness or he was just overconfident, and then he got hit and dropped and fucking it was all over the place. I feel like he should have been like, he should have had the mindset of like, yeah, I can, instead of going, I can cope with this fight wherever it goes, he should be like, I desperately, desperately, desperately can't have this go to the floor. So I'm going to stay on my fucking toes and be so, you know, like the Eddie Alvarez fight, it was like, every time he flinched, McGregor hit him to the point where he was like, I'm scared to fucking move right now. And then he would wind up enough fucking, like, confidence, you know, get the nerve to try and hit him, and he would swing a dig, and McGregor would just be like, bam, 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 hit him like four times, and he's like, oh my god, what the fuck am I doing here? I think that's more, he should have given way more respect and just been like, listen, I know I do not want to go to the floor with this cunt because he will just sit on you and punch you to death. I don't want any part of that. So I'm going to stay so sharp and dangerous on the feet, protect myself so that he can't, you know, what happened a lot was he would punch his way into the clinch or take him down against the cage. I'd have been like, I am staying out here and I am just fucking watching you, and every time you come at me, I'm going to fucking hit you. And John Kavanagh said that to him in like the third round, like, let him come to you now. And he should have done that from the start. He should have just been like, listen, I'm fucking waiting here like a goddamn fucking mousetrap. Just don't come near me because I'll fucking blast you accurately and hard in the face. Which I think would have been a better fucking... And there's a lot of those clinches where it's like, just do a fucking Alistair Overeem. Fucking, you know what I mean? Like, free him inside and just fucking run. Run away. Run back to the middle of the ring. And let him come at you. Let him... You be in the middle of the ring and let him come at you, basically. And just fucking try and control that middle of the ring. And be scared. Be absolutely shit scared of him taking you down. Do you know? Be so on edge. Don't be like, oh, he's got my foot. Don't worry, my jiu-jitsu's decent, I'll go to the floor, I'll fucking cover up, you know, I'll defend. I wouldn't have, you know, I feel like he should have just been like, under no circumstances am I going to this fucking floor. I'm staying away, even if it looks like I'm running. But when you come at me, I'm going to be fucking blasting you hard. I don't know. But like, I don't even know where that fucking Coke Zero came from, it was just lying in this office. But... That's just my fucking opinion. He seemed to just be like, yeah, I can roll with any of this shit. And then Khabib gets him to the floor, and then it's just fucking smash city because he's so fucking heavy on top. And that's all he does all day is control people on the ground on a guy who's like not even known for his grappling at all. So I don't know, I just think he needed a bit more I think he probably thought like, nah, fuck it, I'll just hit this guy and knock him out. Instead of like a real fucking like, just do not let this cunt take you down and punish him the way you did with Alvarez, every time he fucking moves, every time he flinches or moves, we want you to hit him. And just be so... Don't just walk towards him. Throw some punches with your hands down, and then he just grabs your fucking ankle and puts you on your hull. It just didn't seem like a good game plan. And then he was just getting hammered on the floor, like. But what the fuck do I know? Maybe ring rust is a real fucking thing. But that's what I thought. I was like, he's been boxing for a good while. Fought Mayweather. If he can just control that distance, and I'm sure his hands are sharp as fuck. But then maybe, I don't know, there's a whole load of things coming into play. Is he faster and lighter on his feet than, like, when he's fighting at 145? I don't fucking know. And then, of course, it ended, and the whole fucking all hell broke loose, and there was a fight after the bell. Khabib jumped out and attacked your man Dylan Danis, who was obviously slobbering at him, and jumped 2 feet into the fucking crowd. And there was a whole fucking thing. And everyone's like, this is a disgrace. I don't think it is. I don't give a shit about that. Like, that's fine. Jump out of the ring, threaten people. There was never really a fucking serious fight. It's not like he jumped out and fought him one-on-one in another cage. There was a fucking 100 people there, and they're all wrestling and fighting. The only thing I do have a problem with is people getting in the ring and hitting the fighters. That's the problem I have. Like, and I would feel the same if it was the other way, too. It's like, if McGregor had a won and jumped on the fence, and then McGregor's team jumped in the ring and hit the guy that he just beat, you'd be like, mate, have a bit of class. And I've zero problem with Khabib jumping out and going after your man. Because there was a lot of slobbering going on, which is fun. It's fun, and it's also fine. I meant to say fine there, but I said fun by accident because I'm knackered. But yeah, it's fine. But because it's the fight business, you get to slobber at each other. You can't actually fight. You're fighting, you know, he's just a jiu-jitsu guy pretty much, but he's still a fighter. He's good enough to slobber. He's good enough to get hit. But like, it's the ones getting in the ring is a bit fucking gross. And hitting a guy that just got beat is a bit fucking pathetic. Like, McGregor did fucking crack one of them, stopped him in his tracks pretty quickly. Like, but yeah, even if McGregor had knocked out Khabib or choked him out, which is highly unlikely, but and then McGregor's team jumped the ropes or jumped the ring and fucking hit the guy that he just beat, you'd be like, have a bit of goddamn decorum, you tramps. So it's a disaster. There was other good fights. Derek Lewis, I played the clip to Mickey on the last podcast. Joe Rogan's like, why'd you take your pants off? And he's like, my balls was hot. I got those hot balls. God damn. Oh yeah, I drank some proper 12. I had to get, I was going to say Maureen's, I don't even know the relation. We always say Maureen's cousin's husband. He works down south. And I was like, get us a bottle of that, I'll pay you back. So we went and got the bottle off him, and then I shot the McGregor proper 12 video, which seemed to go down all right. Unlike the whiskey, which I'll not lie to you, is not great. It's not great. I mean, when you're selling a bottle like that and it's not even as good as like your standard Jameson, who gives a fuck, you know what I mean? It wasn't even as... Pars is nicer. It just wasn't great. It tasted like just old fucking Bushmills. Not amazing. So I actually had one of them by itself, and then I ended up making fucking whiskey and gingers with lime in it. Trump! Trumpy bastard! But sure, you gotta do it. You know what I mean? You gotta buy the bottle, first batch. Probably shouldn't open it, but sure. But yeah, it wasn't fucking... It wasn't amazing. We watched a whole pile of shit over the weekend there. We watched... watched the rest of that Bodyguard thing. Unbelievable. And then we watched Killing Eve. I feel like someone who's like... You know, someone who hasn't discovered Netflix yet. And you're like, aren't the BBC cranked? In fact, where's my fucking... I actually have my TV license lying there. I've talked about this before. I can't... understand the TV license. It can't be dearer than Netflix. Do you know what I mean? You cannot charge more than Netflix. You tramps. But like, the last time I waited till the guy came around to the fucking house, and then I was like, can you take the payment right now for the full year? And he goes, no, you have to go do it. And I'm like, well, then I'm not doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's too annoying to pay. If you can take the money right now, I'll give you it. It just, I don't know, just the amount of illegal shit you could be doing and no one would ever fucking bat an eyelid. And the second you don't pay for a fucking TV license, they're like, where's this money for your television? Which, by the way, hasn't really worked properly since that fucking storm hit the other week. But sure, what can you do? Apparently there's another one on the way. But yeah, we watched Killing Eve, which is fucking great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, you're like, oh, this is suspenseful. Ooh, chilling. And also, I have a boner. You know, got a sexy serial killer there, just killing people. It's a good show. I think we watched it all when we were sort of borderline hungover on the Sunday. So that ate up the fucking day, along with me eating up all the goddamn pizza I get my hands on. It's very good. It's very good indeed. I also watched John Kavanagh, just going back to the fight. McGregor's coach was on, what do you call it there? Joe Rogan. And I don't think they made the most of him at all. They had this other dude who was like McGregor's fucking weight loss coach or something, which is literally, there's no real fucking science behind, well, there is a bit, like, but you know, no one has a fucking degree in it. Like, even the guy said that, he's like, there's no degree in weight loss. So the guy's just winging it, basically. But he was on, and John Kavanagh was on, and he spent the whole time talking to this other fucking dude, you know, about McGregor's weight loss and other fighters' weight loss. And John Kavanagh just sat there like, John Kavanagh, I don't know, he just seems like the most stoic fucking, you know, wise dude. He just sits there like, I'm here, this is what's happening right now. Joe Rogan seems to be talking a lot to this guy. You know, he's not going to be like jumping in trying to talk shit. He's just going to sit there like fucking Yoda, just like, I understand what's happening here. Talking a lot to this man. I'll just sit here calmly. Comes back to him, chats to him for a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you know what I mean? He's just like fucking, he's like a goddamn Buddhist monk. Just, I'd have been like, is anyone going to fucking look my direction here in this hour? Or am I even fucking meant to be here? See you later, you cunts. And that other dude's like, yeah, bro, just talk about weight loss when you're a fighter. Get in the bath, you know what I mean? Fucking 1 gram of protein, fuck me. You're like, you've John Kavanagh sitting there. For sure, fucking have that other guy on a separate podcast and just talk to John Kavanagh. Probably way more interesting. Fucking hilarious. There's a very funny video online where it's John Kavanagh and Joe Wicks, the body coach. And, you know, he's all talking about his hit sessions and all this bullshit. And then he does basically an MMA workout and nearly fucking dies, which is hilarious. By the way, on the last podcast or the next podcast or whichever order I upload these in, me and Mickey Bartlett were talking and he wants to do Muay Thai, which is fucking hysterical. You know what I mean? You're like, do something that's going to be of some use. Do a jiu-jitsu thing or do something that's like not as violent to try. And he's like, nah, I think I want to do Muay Thai. And I'm like, right, I'm going to get us, I'm going to look it up today. I'm going to, or even if there's anyone out there, I'm going to get a fucking private, like a Muay Thai private lesson. I can think of two people. I'm going to get a private lesson where me and Mickey are going to go down and learn some Muay Thai, which is hilarious. I'm going to beat the fuck out of him. You know, he's all like, oh, my kicks from Taekwondo. I fucking, this is Bartlett, and just fucking just front kick you into a wall. He's hilarious. Like, he thinks because he skips a wee bit that he's an elite athlete, and he's like, oh, look at you, you big fat baldy bastard. And I'm like, you've been to the gym with me and you couldn't do fucking nothing. He's like, you could do nothing, you couldn't even fucking, there was one exercise where they had him on the floor and they were like, you put your legs out in front of you, it's like a seated press thing, shoulder press, you know, just sort of isolates everything for your core and stuff. And he couldn't get his hands above his head. And I'm like, just lift them up. And he goes, they literally won't go. And I was like, you fucking heap of shit. And he's like, oh, I fucking skip. I skip for 20 minutes and then go and smoke 9 fags. You fucking piece of shit. Here's what we should do. I'm gonna go book a private thing. Yeah, I just remembered. I'm pretty sure I know of a guy in Bangor where his girlfriend lives, so we can go down there. Make a video. That's hilarious. But yeah, I'm gonna have a fucking charity fight with Mickey. And if I win, he has to give £1,000 to a charity. How about that? Or I'll organise a live podcast and the fee that Mickey gets goes straight to charity. Once I head kick him to death. No, that'll be fun though. I'm going to organise that. Wants to do Muay Thai. Have you ever heard? I'm in a weird place at the minute. You know, people have talked to me about jiu-jitsu and there's people have fucking said, oh yeah, you go to SBG and all, don't you? And I'm like, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't. What is that noise? I'll be like, no. That would drive you mental. I was like, I don't. I did jiu-jitsu for a while, and then the most I can get to it. The problem is, you don't do a thing for a while, you don't think about it. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, I just need to get into the rhythm of going. But the problem is, I don't live in Belfast, so if I was to go do it, I'd have to set aside a day to go do it, basically. This is driving me fucking bananas. Yeah, we'll have to set aside a day to go do it, and I just can't really do that. I have a lot of shit on, especially at this time of year, so it's like, what am I going to do? Like, fucking set out at 10 in the morning, go do a lunchtime class for 2 hours. Get fucking changed, go for something to eat, and then head up the road, and then it's like dinner time. Like, the whole day was me going to a fucking jiu-jitsu class. There's nowhere around here. We live in the arsehole of nowhere. I would either have to go to, like, Strabane or Belfast. So I'm like, for fuck's sake, like. But I would love to do more. And I know lads that they started together. Maybe they don't train every day, like a lot of people, but they have a mate or a few mates they can just roll with in their spare time, which I would fucking love. But similarly to me doing a podcast with like Sean Campbell, our man in Vietnam, I don't have mates that I couldn't sit here and talk to a mate of mine about fucking. I could sit and talk to Maureen and have a better conversation about MMA than I could with Mickey or any other of the fucking comedians. You know what I mean? It's very fucking strange. But I would just love a mate who was into jiu-jitsu. You know, that'd be the best shit ever. But what can you do? They're all wanting to do Muay Thai and Pilates and shit. I'm gonna fucking get me a Mickey a private. It's gonna be unbelievable. And just have a guy run us through some basic moves, and then we have a light spar, and it'll all be done on a vlog. I can't fucking wait, bro. Cannot wait. I'm gonna try and get that done this week. I'm so excited for that. amazing. I was in Belfast yesterday and I saw a thing which almost made me burn the fucking shop down. I was in TK Maxx because I was with Maureen, and she's like, Maureen is, I'll be honest, I'm married to Maureen, and she is the worst shopper of all time. She is fucking, I know it's like 80s comedy going, what's it like going shopping with women? I'm sure it's bad. Going shopping with Maureen is worse. She bought a coat. She's wearing a coat. What do you think of this one? What size do you think's better? Takes off a medium, puts on a small. And I'm like, they look exactly the same. Well, it's just like, this one's a bit tighter on my arm. Like, when I fold my arm, it feels really tight on my elbow. And I'm like, we'll get the bigger one then. But then I don't like things that make me feel like bigger than I should be. And I'm like, okay, let me tell you something. It's a black fucking coat with fur around the neck. They both look the same. No one's going to give a fuck. No one's going to be, if you put the medium on that's more comfortable, no one's going to be like, oh my God, she's put on weight on her elbows. You're like, just fucking get it. But then Maureen is the type where she, you know, she would be sitting at home like, I want to buy so many clothes online. And you're like, we'll buy them. I know, but I just don't know what I want. Do you want to go to Belfast shopping? Yeah, I want to get some wee bits. Didn't see anything. Do you know what I mean? I'm the type where I'm just like, I could go, I want new trainers, and go to Belfast and buy new trainers. And I don't think about it like it's a fucking you know, it's got to be the most perfect purchase where I'm like, I love these. I'll be like, they're cool. Get them, throw them in the mix of shit. You know? What do I need? I need a fucking whatever. You just buy what the best option is there. Quickly and efficiently, instead of looking at all the fucking shops and then... Oh my God. Goddamn nightmare. Like, I could have easily bought about 4 pairs of shoes yesterday, and then I was just like, I really shouldn't. You know, sometimes you're like, rather than spend all this money on trainers, I should probably book flights and accommodation for some of the upcoming tour gigs that I'm going on. That would be a smart move. But then, what's the point in doing that if you don't have dope kicks? You know what I'm saying? So, we go into TK Maxx because, you know, apparently the home section is very good. So we go up all the fucking flights of steps. And I'll tell you what makes TK Maxx extra cool. Some alarm went off and it was just going flat out. And I was like, this is great. You know, nothing I enjoy more than standing in here with that noise. And then, do you know what we bought? Knives and forks. A cutlery set. Fuck me. But if you go on my Instagram, I put up a photo of a thing I seen. There was a goddamn piece of wood, piece of driftwood, mounted on another piece of wood. And I was like, that is fucking, that is criminal that that's for sale. Like, it wasn't even fucking, it wasn't even painted or fucking, you know what I mean? Sometimes you get those things and they're like, oh yeah, someone's painted it a wee bit and it looks kind of cool. Nope, nothing. It just looked like shit. I'm in the wrong fucking thing. I'm trying to get the questions up. I was like, who, what sort of idiot is just standing there going, Brian, wouldn't that look gorgeous in our house? Oh, what is it? It's a piece of driftwood with 2 bits of metal up the middle of it, sitting on another piece of wood so that it sits perfectly. How much is it? Is it for free? Oh, no. Oh, is it for the price of the 2 screws that's holding it? No, it's much more. It's 20, it's 19. It's actually $19.99. Which isn't bad. You know, if you're talking paying the petrol to go to a beach and get a bit of driftwood, you may have spent a bit more, but this one's right here and we can take that right now. Disgusting behavior. So shite, like, so shite. I'm trying to get up the motherfucking questions. Let me see. 8 comments. Heading to the gig in London this Friday. I answered this in the last podcast, but I'll answer it on this one too. Heading to the London gig on Friday. Any rough idea what time you'll go on at? Website says 7, but that seems early. And cutting into work whiskies. What? Cutting into work whiskies. Listen, Brendan Kettle, if that's your real name, what a great name. We had Willie Palmer on the last one, and we've got fucking Brendan Kettle on this one. That's a movie waiting to happen, bros. Isn't it? No, it starts at 7, I'm afraid. Yeah, it starts at 7. I hate to tell you. That's the Museum of Comedy. It's like, it's a little venue and they do not want to work at all. They're like, you've booked the room, come in, do the gig. You know, I'm sure, like, if I hung about drinking, my fucking back, if I hung about drinking afterwards, they would probably make a bit of money at the bar. The last time we did it, on the St. Paddy's Day date, round about there, it fucking, they said they sold more drink than they'd ever sold. And I was like, well, that's great for you to tell me. Give me 40% of that, seeing that there's no other reason why people would be here today. Bitch. Do a Peter Kay and be like, yeah, I want the cut of the car park money at the Odyssey. And you're sort of like, right enough, they are only here for you, like. But yeah, sorry, Brendan, it will start at 7, and if anyone else is going to the London one, it starts at fucking 7, I'm afraid. What's your opinion on the Blind Boy podcast? And that's from Casey Boy. It's great. It's really cool. it's ruined podcasting for everyone because every cunt now has a goddamn fucking mental health podcast. But yeah, it's good. It's very informational. I do take issue with him sometimes delving into stuff. Like everyone talks about shit that they're unqualified to talk about, but when it's like his podcast, when it sounds like a fucking TED talk rather than just some guy talking shit, you know, and he's all like, "Today we're talking about fucking, you know, what do you call it, quantum physics," and you're like, "Do you know enough about that to be dishing out shit, or are you just fucking winging it because you have a vague interest in it?" But then who gives a fuck? It's only a podcast. Yeah, but it is good. I've listened to many of them. Many podcasts. Alex Good for the win. Any advice for someone who just been digging their college film course but really wants to get into filming? Yeah. Film. There's fucking... You do not need... Like, see... I went to... I used to fucking... When I did, like, LOL and stuff like that, I met a guy who's a TV producer, and even though I did a lot of stuff online, he basically produced my show that went to the Edinburgh Fringe, and we remain friends. He was at my wedding. And he produces shows for Disney and stuff, The Lodge and things like that. But you know, he asked me, his wife taught some sort of course, I think, like a media course type thing. And he's like, "Oh, would you and Shane go down to it?" I think me and Shane went down to do this course where we're supposed to just hang out with these fucking kids or whatever. And in fairness, they probably knew way more stuff than me, technically. They just knew a lot of shit. They were fucking talking all professionally about how to make this short film. And bloody blah, and you're doing the lights, and, you know, can we change the fucking aperture on that? And let's work on the fucking bloody blah, and we'll white balance the camera and do a couple of tests. And the guy's doing the sound and the fucking lighting and all this horse shit. And you're like... You know, those real technical elements of filmmaking are really fucking boring at the start. What they should be doing is like, take this fucking camera and just go film whatever the fuck you want, whether it's comedy or you want to make like a fucking music video or you want to do something, just go do it. I think a lot of those courses, people get tied up in like the real technical professional level of filmmaking, like, you know, let's get another take from that, and oh my god, there's a fucking plane, let's wait till the plane passes for sound and bloody blah and all this shit. And it just, yeah, there's the fucking take one to, you know, I feel like that complicates it a lot. I think there should be a lot more just fucking take this camera and go on, and especially nowadays, do you know what I mean? I was thinking, oh my god, I was like in Jessup's yesterday, and I was like, it's amazing what $2,000 can get you. Like, $2,000 and you can make a fucking movie. Do you know what I mean? I was looking at I have a Lumix G7 up there, and I was looking at a Lumix G9, and it was like $2,000, and I was like, this fucking thing is a goddamn weapon. Do you know what I mean? It shoots in like 6K and all this shit. Like 6K, 120 frames per second or something. I might have misread that, but this thing's a fucking beast, like. And, you know, you get the fucking proper mics. You get someone with your mate with a fucking boom, with a Rode mic on the end of it. There's a few wee steps you can take to make something look really polished, but, like, it doesn't take much for you to fucking... I mean, the thing is, like, my advice would always be, if you were in school and you were like, I'm thinking that I want to do, like, you know, filmmaking or something, do it on anything. Do it on your phone. Do it on your fucking... Just go do it. If you want to do the thing, you'd be doing it instead of doing a thing because it sounds good, which I've witnessed a lot doing courses throughout the years. People doing fucking, I did design and communication because I wanted to be a graphic designer, But there was a lot of people on it going like, oh, this is an experimental course. You get to fucking dip your toe in the water for a whole load of different subjects. And I feel like I can fucking bum my way through it. And you can tell the people who are actually into it and the people who just did it because it sounded like an easy... It wasn't like you were going to do fucking biomedical science. You know what you're in for that? It's a lot of fucking studying and a lot of fucking about. You take a look at design and communication, you go, that sounds like a fucking walk in the park. And the dead giveaway is that everybody who was decent at it either fucking has their own company, is self-employed, you know, or is doing pretty fucking well for themselves in a big company or something. They're the ones that are like fucking, they knew that that's what they wanted to do. And then there was a lot of people who were just like, oh yeah, I just kind of fucking do this, whatever. And the next minute they're like still working in a spa fucking 10 years later. But the people that were fucking, you know, wanting to do that shit, like as soon as I was given the opportunity to make like a video, I made fucking a ton of videos on my own, you know, and I was looking into like After Effects and motion graphics and shit like that. I did that off my own accord because I wanted to fucking do it. Do you know what I mean? Same as like learning how to use Photoshop. Like I've probably used Photoshop since I was about fucking 15 or something. But there, like, so you're talking like, what are you talking, 16 years or something using the one thing? And I only made myself learn how to use it because I wanted to make stencils. You know, I wanted to take an image and make it all high contrast and turn it into like a fucking stamp and then be able to make a stencil from it, thinking it was goddamn Banksy in art college. But it's just, there's a lot of that shit where you're like, I can't wait till I'm qualified from college with a fucking whatever asshole qualification it is in filmmaking. And all they've taught you the whole time is like, this is how you record sound. This is how you, no one really teaches you like fucking, you know, you have to learn how to fucking craft like a wee narrative in your wee story or whatever the fuck it is you're doing. You got to learn all that shit. Like I learned a lot of shit, you know, for like all those early I Am Fighters and a lot of editing techniques that make things funnier. You know, I learned very quickly, like, you know, if you're watching like The Office or fucking Spinal Tap or Trailer Park Boys or some bullshit like that, there's wee things you can use, you know, just like editing techniques or pausing a bit longer or fucking cutting out of one scene into the next one, just wee things that you can add in that make things funnier, which I just basically stole from other fucking shows. That's the sort of shit you should be doing if you're fucking, oh, I want to film some shit. You'd be doing it already. Do you know what I mean? It's like that fucking Alexander McQueen thing. I haven't seen the movie, but, you know, you heard snippets from it, and he's just like, yeah, I would take fucking dole money and go buy material. And you're like, that's how much Zach Cunn wanted to make clothes. He didn't, he just made do with what he had for the meantime. And, you know, yeah, it's like you don't need any of that shit. There's plenty of people out there with good cameras that are fucking retarded. Oh, there's plenty of people out there who think they're a photographer because they have a fucking, you know, some high end Canon camera and they couldn't fucking take a photo to save their lives. And then there's other guys who are doing opening fucking exhibitions with photos that they took on an iPhone. So it's just like, don't worry about qualifications or the tools that you have to do the job or anything. If you're really fucking into it, just go do it. Go film something on your phone. Like you could easily make something on a goddamn new iPhone. Easily. There's plenty of things. Like, go on. What's that fucking song? I think I've played it on here before. It's a song by Tyler, the Creator, and A$AP Rocky, right? If you go on and watch this, you know, it's without a doubt shot on iPhones. The song's pretty swag too. I think it's a beat from a Missy Elliott song. Niggas give me the cold shoulder, I can speak for myself. Is it? So I keep a hot waist and alligator the belt. Ain't got a belt with the holster. I ain't playing games, but got some little niggas who would do it, so I pass the controller. You press the next out. But the thing about that video is, like, someone with a bit of skill could, they could have recorded that song in like a fucking in like a studio somewhere and just put the lyrics down over that beat. And then the guy's like, "Do you want to just fucking go in the street here with this our phones and shoot a video?" And you get someone who can half frame up a shot. And then a lot of the polishing up is done in the edit. And then what they've done is they've added like a load of graphics and stuff. And as he's rhyming, the words come up on the screen. But like, that's a, you know, you could massively overcomplicate that. You could go like, right, I'm going to go and I'm going to get a fucking red camera and I'm going to fucking do all this shit. And we'll get a big gimbal that stabilizes the shots. And then we'll send it in the post and a guy edits it and, you know, color corrects it and grades it and everything. Or do you just fucking do it like that and it's fine? It's cool as fuck. You know, it's like any of those things where it's like, you know, like the Who used to smash up all their gear and stuff because that was based on like some old jazz guy who would just play on a trumpet and then throw it on the ground, stamp on it and be like, "Do you know what? It's nothing to do with a trumpet. I play the fucking trumpet. I play any fucking trumpet, bro. Killing it round here." You know, same as Jack White. He's like, "I deliberately play a shit plastic guitar just to make it harder for myself." You know, anyone can, a lot of those new guitars, they'll pretty much play themselves. I love that shit. Someone who's just like, oh my God, I never noticed that's fucking Jaden Smith and that. Yeah, just get stuck in. Just get stuck into it and just be that good that it doesn't matter what qualification or gear or whatever the fuck you have. You can do whatever you want. But there has to be a passion there. You have to, I really do just think, if you want to do something that badly, nothing's going to stop you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'll just go ahead and do it. You know, it'd be like owning a fucking guitar you got in Argos. And you're like, see when I save up and I get $3,000, I'm going to buy a Les Paul and then I'll really learn to play the guitar and be really good. You're not going to do it. You'll be doing it already. So many people like, "Oh, I'm going to start a podcast. Have you any tips?" If you're waiting for tips from fucking me, who has a mildly okay podcast, then you're fucked. You should have been doing it already. Fucking assholes. I don't know who asked that question, but yeah, if you don't like the course, just turn up, you know, do whatever you have to do. Turn whatever projects they give you, which I'm sure are all sort of like, you know, this project's going to be based on this. Just turn it into something that you want to do. That's what I did. I was doing moving image and as a module in my course. And all I was doing was like, they let you do whatever you want. And people were doing, "Oh, I'm going to do a music video. I'm going to do a video art. Eat my dick. I'm going to do a video art piece." Video art's second only to fucking, actually, that's a lie. Because if you watch something like that, what's it called? Watchtower of Turkey. 2.2 million views. Yeah, like you watch that video, you're like, okay, some video art is very fucking cool, but most of it's a pile of wank. But just turn it into whatever you want to. We were like, do a moving image thing, and I was like, right, I'm gonna do a fucking funny, I'm gonna do a mock doc, because that's all I was watching at the time. I loved all that shit. So I made a mock doc, and then there you go. I feel like I've really, really talked a lot of bollocks today. We're at 55 minutes. You're getting two podcasts today. Live in your face. So, yeah, that's all I can really fucking, that's as much as I can give you today. Like I said, we got the gigs coming up. We got London on the 12th. The 18th, we've got Glasgow, you cunt. Glasgow. That's on the 18th. We're up against Kevin Bridges, so show some support for the wee guys, you know. He'll fill that hydro like a motherfucker. And then we're home, and then on the 20th, we're in Derry. Squirt, squirt. And then 26th, which is my birthday, we're in the Limelight. There's about a third of the tickets left for that, even though I haven't fucking pushed them in the slightest. And they're contacting me about adding another one. So we'll see what the fuck happens. So yeah, that's about it, guys. Patreon.com/GeneralBanterPodcast if you want to support the podcast by giving me $1, $2 a month. and we end up buying things like this, a camcorder. Mics are definitely next on the card, saying that I fucking snapped one off a microphone, not my dick, when I was talking to Mickey earlier. So it's fucked. So we're down to one microphone now. We need to get ourselves some standard Shure fucking mics so we can get that good crisp sound, and I can also take this podcast anywhere I want. Yeah, boy. And that's about it. Congettis.com for all the tour tickets, and there's merch available there too, and we should be getting some new merch on the run up to Christmas. Some new designs. And the general apparel merch, I think there's talk of it just turn like becoming a full clothing label rather than just some merch attached to this podcast, just a separate thing. So how about that? Up in your tits, bros. Yep, that's all folks. What do you want to hear on the way out here, guys? I don't know, I'm not playing another song. I haven't monetized the video on YouTube in about fucking 3 years because I keep playing songs like a dickhead. Anyway, cheers for listening. We'll see you next time. Still dabbing on them, bro.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.